Hemshech, a continuation of the past number of Shiurim, where we have in the first shiur discussed the backdrop of Tachanun. The second shiur we examined the structure of Tachanun Vuhurachim. And the third shiur we began with Halachic Potpourri Part 1. So now we'll continue Halachic Potpourri Part 2. The last halacha we had mentioned was the Ramah. In Siman Kuf Lamed Aleph Sif Beis, Yesh Omrim Dein Nefilas Apayim Bavamokim Sheyesh Aron V'Sevet Torah B'Socha. So we commented that the Ramah clearly indicates the need for an Aron, a Mokom Mechubad for a Sevet Torah. However, the Ramah says below Zeh, if there's no Aron with a Sevet Torah, Omrim Tchina below Kisui Ponim V'Chei Noagim, then we will say the Tachanun without the Nefilas Sapayim, and that's the minug. Mishnah Berurah is masbir here in Sivkot and Yud Aleph that this is alluded to in the pasuk in the Melchemes Ha'ai in Sefer Yoshua, which took place lifnei Aron Hashem, vayipol al panav lifnei Aron Hashem. And even though the language of the Mechaber seems to be relatively clear that one can be nofel al panav without a Sefer Torah, and that's how many Svardim Anoeg, the Psak of the Birka Yosef, the Chidah, and other great Svardim Poskim. But the Aruch HaShulchan said that the Minhag HaPashut is in sync with the Ramah. So we mentioned that the Minhag in Yerushalayim is that there's Nefilas Apayim even without a Sefer Torah. And generally the reasoning that is advanced for that is already made mention of by Hagoyne Moshe Feinstein Zatzal. Yerushalayim is a makom kadosh. Yerushalayim is a makom miyuchad l'tfila. Yerushalayim is kelefnei Aron Hashem. And we mentioned that one of the areas of discussion that takes place among the Gdolei Poskim, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach Zatzal, it's also discussed in the classic sefer on tfila Isha Yisrael, an absolutely wondrous sefer that has a monumental collection of halachas on tfila. So he discusses whether this Lifnei Aron Hashem is only in Yerushalayim ben Achomos, the old city of Yerushalayim, what's called Yerushalayim Atika, or it applies also to the Mekomot HaKadoshim of Yerushalayim. But generally we assume that it's Noi B'chol Yerushalayim, and that seems to be the practice, universal practice, that in Yerushalayim there are no Nofel HaPadayim, even when there are no Sifrei Torah. The Mishnah Berurah here quotes in Sifkot and Yud Aleph, a machlokes, if there's no Sefer Torah, however, there are other svarim. And the question is whether we engage in the Tefilas Apayim or not. The Mishnah Berurah is not machriya. In this machlokes, he doesn't bring any final psak between the two tzadim. And there are two different positions that are found among the Gdolei Achronim. The Chassam Sofer was noeg to be nofel apayim when there were other svarim. The Chazon Ish, as testified to by Agoyin of Chaim Kanievsky Shlita, also subscribed to that position. My Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, as well felt that that is the correct position. And even if there's only one Sefer, and even if it's only a Chumash or a Siddur, even though I saw in the Sefer, in the name of Rabbi Yashiv Zatzal, that even those that were Mekel didn't have in mind Siddurim, but many poskim indicate otherwise, that even a siddur would suffice. However, my observation, both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz Aretz, the minhag ha'olam, and especially in Chutz Aretz, is that we do not engage in the Tefilas Apayim, kol zman she'ein Sefer Torah. If there's no Sefer Torah present, we're not going to do the Tefilas Apayim. That's the mashmos as well of Agoyin of Moshe Feinstein and Arachayim Chelekei Simen Chof Osei. But Moshe Feinstein actually writes in that Shuba that he mentions that young children were not nohug in Europe to say Tachanun at all. But in terms of this specific issue that we are talking about, I think that seems to be the general practice, not to be nefil al apayim, even when there are shar svarim, without the presence of a Sefer Torah. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach Zatzal, It's mentioned in Halicha Shlomo. That was his practice when he was outside Yerushalayim. In Yerushalayim, there seems to be unanimity. That's called the Bnei Hashem. However, outside Yerushalayim, Rav Shlomo Zalman Oyerbach Zatzal was not Nefel Apayim, even in the presence of Sfarim. So this issue is a very significant issue. It became more significant during the recent Corona season. And unquestionably, if you take a look, Al Pi HaKabbalah, there's a very fascinating comment I saw in the Siddur Ari HaKadosh. They write over there, V'yipo aval mish'ein sefer Torah sham, the one is permitted to go ahead and do so and be nofel apayim without the presence of a sefer Torah, ach lo yaseh zeh, ela mishu mefursam u'muchsok b'chsidus u'b'hanhogas HaKabbalah. The only one who should be knowing like that are those who are well-known chsidim, big tzaddikim, and those who are steeped in Kabbalah and the like. But as I mentioned, in Yerushalayim Yerakodesh, and this is already quoted, there's a very beautiful little sefer by Rabbi Chil Michal Tikuchinsky, the Ratzarik Dibrocha, who was the Rabbi Yerushalayim many, many decades ago. And he collected minhagim that relate to Eretz Yisrael, and he brings this minhag as well, that even b'bayi shem b'sefer Torah and b'bayi shem makom kavua l'tefillah, that he indicates the pasuk l'vnei Hashem, and he writes there, "V'yushalayim shekdushas haknushas olam, harei hi kilevnei Aron Hashem." That seems to be a universally accepted position in the city of Yerushalayim. And as I mentioned, there's no distinction whether it's Yerushalayim ben Achomot, Yerushalayim de Atika, or even the modern day Yerushalayim, which Baruch Hashem has expanded, and according to Chazal, will eventually expand till Damesek. So therefore, this halacha is applicable in terms of being lifnei Hashem. A second issue that
What's the reason that it's more important than tefillah? Shemoneh Esrei itself doesn't have to be with a sefer Torah. It's connected to Shemoneh Esrei and it has a chashivas almost like Shemoneh Esrei, but it's on a higher level than Shemoneh Esrei as far as this.
And apparently, as I mentioned, according to the Rambam Hilchos Tefillah in Perikei Halacha Aleph, I'm not mistaken. So the Rambam clearly considers it to be part of the Amida. We mentioned that the Poskim bring down not to be mafsik between Shemoneh Esrei and Tachanun. The Rambam there has in Perikei 8 Tanoim that should ideally be observed. But of course, if one does not observe them, B'Shas HaTchak, it doesn't make the Tefillah possible. The Tefillah is not invalid. So regarding Tachanun, the requirement is that we have to be nofel apayim, we have to bow down. Means even though the Amida is said while standing, here we're doing the filas apayim. So conceptually or philosophically, in the Amida, we are, as Rabbi Weiss mentioned, we are essentially in an Amida lefnei Hashem. We're standing before Hashem Yisbarach. And logically, we should really prostrate ourselves before Hashem in a posture of total subjugation. But somehow we have the effrontery, as I spoke about, to stand before Hashem erect, face to face, which is an enormous chus. Avram Avinu, Odenu Omei Lefnei Hashem. That's one of the Mekores for the din of Amida, or the Pasuk, Vayamo Pinchas Vayefalel, referring to Shemoneh Esrei, Davka Pasture of Amida. So, in effect, we have a dialogue with Hashem Yisbarach, or the way the Chafetz Chaim Zatzal expressed it, that we are literally interacting with Hashem, Ki'ilu as if we're talking to an intimate kind of friend. However, when we come to the end of the Amida of the Shemoneh Esrei, we suddenly realize the enormity of what we've done, standing and engaging in supplication and ke'ilu, interacting, arguing with Hashem Yisbarach, la'avdil. So we're so embarrassed, as I mentioned, I think that the Shemoneh Esrei and Tachanun reflect this duality, the dialectical tension of the Rambam's Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. Shemoneh Esrei is totally a reflection of the Ava, the unbelievable love that we have for Hashem Yisbarach, and that love is expressed in a mutual way. It's not a chatzitri, but dusitri. It's a two-way street. But at the end of it, similar to what happens as the Rambam describes in Hilchos Yesod HaTorah, a person is so overwhelmed by the majesty, by the charisma of the astounding world that we live in, but then he realizes, who am I? I'm but a cipher. I'm but essentially off of a efer, b'fnei Hashem Yisbarach. And that moment he recoils with tremendous pachad, with tremendous fear. In a similar fashion, that's exactly what Tachanun is. So we fall on our faces and we are engaged in abject, total surrender to Hashem Yisbarach. Because we're more realistic about what our real status is in this world. And even though there's no set text really, but it's Hishtapchus HaNefesh. It's a pouring out of our hearts before Hashem and asking Him to extend our kindness to us. So really, Amida, the Shemoneh Esrei and Tachanun, as we mentioned, are two sides of the same coin. So in the Amida, we emphasize the potential greatness of human beings as Shutfim, LaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Maaseh Bereishis. We are partners to Hashem in the act of creation. In Tachanun, we express the idea that we are totally dependent upon Hashem's mercy and grace. So in effect, I would venture to say, in terms of what Rabbi Weishlita just suggested, and I believe that is really the yesod, namely that Tachanun, in some respects, is even on a higher level than the Amida of the Shemoneh Esrei. And to a certain degree, we obviously have a fixed text for Tachanun today, but in reality, Nipla no biyad Hashem ki rabim rachamov uvyad odom alapola is really the yesod of everything what tefillah is all about. Tefillah is essentially a sense of hiskevifus, that one is completely kofuf to Hashem Yisbarach, one surrenders to Him totally, completely. In other words, in the Shemoneh Esrei we are a gadra, and in the Tachanun we become a chetza. So Leshi Zatzal was always fond of the Kotzka. The Kotzka said that every Jew has two pockets. In one pocket it says, describing the unbelievable heights that a human being can achieve. The Ramban actually quotes that pasuk in the Bereishis in the context of when Hashem created Adam B'Tzelem Elokim. So that pasuk reflects the Tzelem Elokim that exists in each of us. On the other hand, in the other pocket, there's that in the eyes of Hashem is Baruch, I am basically dust. And so, in effect, Nipla no biyad Hashem is a recognition of that sense of Yiras Hashem. So, even though it's true in the Ashkenazi text, we have built Tachanun around Tehillim Perek Vav, and the Sfaradim actually chose a different text. They chose Perek Hafei in Tehillim. But unquestionably, the nature of Tachanun is such, this sense of Nefilas Apayim, which is derived from Moshe Rabbeinu, Va'esnapa l'fnei Hashem, that's found in Dvarim, and that's found in Sefer Yehoshua, Vayipal upon of Arzal, Ve'aron Hashem, this sense of Nefilas Apayim is the ultimate in Tefillah, the ultimate Hakara that one should have with reference to Tefillah. And so, in terms of responding to what Rabbi Weishlita mentioned, I believe that in the question lies the answer, namely the answer was already given by Rav Shlomo Weishlita, that the nature of Tachanun is such that it's an astounding tefillah. Both, as I said, in terms of the sense of Abba V'Yira, and also I think primarily in the sense that ultimately tefillah is the recognition that the Anochi of Eifer. My life is completely dependent upon Hashem Yisbarach. B'yovcha avkid ruchi podisa si Hashem kelemes. Okay, a second halachi potpourri, which you already touched upon as well, is the question of Nefilas Apayim b'yeshiva or b'amida. So we mentioned that l'chatchila, the Mechaber says in Sif Beis, Nefilas Apayim b'yusha v'lo mu'umad. The Mishnah Berurah explains that the time is really apia Kabbalah, Kabbalistic reasons. Mishnah Berurah says that the Yuvosh indicates ain't pay the bezeh, it's not ma'akev. So let's say a person finished his tefillah and obviously has to stand k'dehiluf dalan amos, and before that shir, the tzibu begins to say tachanun, so he should remain there. V'yipol alpanav, if someone, let's say, is standing behind him and he's davening Shemoneh Esrei and you can't move to the side, then v'yipol alpanav mu'umad, you should do it b'amida. The Mishnah Berurah is also mashma that after tachanun you say right away v'anachnu lo neda. That's how it's quoted in the Ma'aser Rav. And maybe we'll examine perhaps a little bit later the nature of the language of the Rambam with reference to Tachanun that we have not read very carefully. But the Ma'aser, the Aruch HaShulchan writes that the minhag is to say, Shomer Yisrael, Shmosheu Yisrael, Ve'al Yomad Yisrael, Ha'omim Shema Yisrael, Til Hoshienu, and then we say, Ve'anachum Lo Nida. But if you look at the Mishnah Berurah carefully, it's Mashmeh after Tachanun, you say, Miyad, Ve'anachum Lo Nida. And that's actually, I was quoted in the Ma'aser Rav of the Vilna Gaon. There are those who are knowing like that. That's not the minhag of Klal Yisrael. the minute of Kohen Yisrael is what I just mentioned. And in effect, I saw in the name of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Zatzal, in the Halich of Shlomo, he writes that the Zman Hachim Mesugo for Bakosha is Dafka in Tachanun. Even more so than the Bakosha in Shmon Esrei. Again, responding to Rabbi Weiss, that even more than Shmon Esrei, you have an opportunity for Bakosha in Amiras Tachanun. Before you say, means after a Shomer Yisrael, before I say Misratza Berachamim, and I understood that they say over from Hagoyin of Chatzko Levenstein, Zatzal, the Mashkiach of Ponovich, that he said, the Zman Hachi Mesugo, to ask Hashem for Refuah Shlema on Monday and Thursday, is Dafka in this Tefillah, when one says, Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Shum Nechaon Apecha, B'Nachem Alarali Ambecha. So the Mishnah Berurah actually indicates here in Sivkot and Tess, he writes the name of the Shlach Kodesh, that one should say Vanachum Lo Nigda B'Yeshiva, and then when one gets to Manaseh, then one says that B'Amida. And we explained already earlier, and the Hashulchan actually really encapsulates it, that essentially what we're saying to Hashem is Baruch is the following: we have approached Hashem with every possible posture, namely a posture of Yeshiva in the course of davening. I mentioned already the Rambam a few times. And Hilchus Tefillah, Ashrei Yoshev Secha, Sheha Yeshiva Bebatek Neisios Beiskei Amitzvahi. The mitzvah is dafka to be Yeshiva. One should feel comfortable in a Beis HaKnesses. The way that Rasul Avetshi Zatzal said a shir, based on the Gemara in the last paragraph of Brachas, Ki Beiso. A Beis HaKnesses is my house, Mashen Keng. The Beis HaMikdash is the home of Hashem Yisbarach. So there the proper posture is Tishtachavah, because the din of Mora Mikdash, Es Mikdashi Tiro, Mashenki the Beis HaKnesses is my house. And in my house, I'm comfortable. I enter. Lo'olim Yikonis Adam, Shir Shnei Psochim. Hashem comes as a guest to visit us. In the Beis HaMikdash, we are the guests. We are the Orchim. Hashem is the Marech. In Beis HaKnesses is Pum Fakert. Two opposite kinds of tones. Beis HaKnesses, the prevailing atmosphere is one of Kovid. The Beis HaMikdash is one of Mora. And as we know, in the Beis HaKnesses, the ideal posture is yeshiva. That's how the Rambam writes, that's how Sfadim Anoeg, the entire time be yeshiva, with the exception of the Shech Tzibur and the Shmon Esrei, that the Tzibur davens ba'amido. But we know the Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara says, "En yeshiva ba'azorah, el l'malchim b'zdovah bilvad." Yeshiva is not the proper posture in the Beis HaMikdash. The posture is one of Yishtachavah, it's one of Mora Mikdash, a certain degree of fear. So we now come to Hashem and we say, basically, we've done the yeshiva in the course of Sugi de Zimra, Bichos Kriyashma, and we've now done the Amida, the Shmon Esrei, and now Benefilas Apayim, and we've essentially exhausted every posture imaginable. So now, Ma Nase Ki Alecha Einenu. We are standing up because the rest is up to you. So this is the practice, but if you look in the Rambam carefully, in Perek Tes Halacha Hei of Tefillah, the Rambam happens to be in front of you, for those who still have that Makar of the Rambam, the Mashmos of the Rambam is that we sit the entire time all the way till Kaddish. And many who follow the Rambam, they follow this position. They don't do what the Mishnah Berurah suggests, the name of the Shlach Kaddish, that we say everything be yeshiva, the Tachon, until Manase, we get up. But the practice is to sit the entire time all the way till Kaddish. If I'm not mistaken, that was the practice of Hagoyin Rabbi Yisrael Sholem El Yashiv, Zechat Tzadik Debracha. He followed the Emdas HaRambam. He sat the entire time all the way to Kaddish. There's a discussion I saw in the Poskim. They bring in the name of the Chazon Ish, where the Baal Tefillah began to say Kaddish mistakenly before they had a chance to say Tachanun. And he's already in the middle of Kaddish. So then, Lechora, one can no longer say Tachanun. But in this matter, I saw a number of stiris regarding what the position of the Chazon Ish is, and I heard there are different protein regarding this matter, but I saw in the name of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and this was told to me as well by Hagoyin Rav Avigdor Nevinson Shlita, and the name of his Rebbe, Rav Shlomo Zalman, that even that they already read Kriyas HaTorah, and they forgot to say Tachanun, they should still say Tachanun. And I also heard in the name of my Rebbe said the name of his Rebbe, that is, Hagoyin of Nisim Alpes, and then Ramesha Feinstein, that's all, that once apparently there was a, I guess, Sidarin in the Chassidus Shaminyan for Mincha, they didn't say Tachanun. And after Aleinu, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein sat down and said Tachanun. The davening was over. And he felt that Tachanun was such an integral part of the tefillah, especially according to the Rambam Shita, that it's integrated, it's clearly bonded together with Shmon Esrei. So he went ahead and said Tachanun at that point in time after Aleinu. The Shulchan Aruch writes here in Siman Kuf Lamed Aleph Sif Gimel, Ein Tefillah Sapayim Balayla. I think I mentioned that this is an issue, especially in Chutz Laaretz, where, generally speaking, many, many shuls daven very close to Shkia. What they usually do is they'll daven Mincha right before Shkia, and they'll daven Maariv right after Shkia. Perhaps they'll maybe wait 2 or 3 minutes to have some Divrei Torah. Sometimes they don't even have that. And they do it for a very simple reason. They want to make sure that people are going to daven Mincha Maariv B'tzibur. And of course, they tell people to say Kriya Shema later on Bizman. So the Shulchan Aruch writes the halacha that there's no Nefilas Sapayim at nighttime. So let's say the Mincha is Nimshach after Shkia Sachama. So then Bikra Din, you don't say Tachanun. The Mishnah Berurah writes over here in Sifkot Yizayin that Bein Hashmosho Shalayla Noagim Lomar Tachanun. Mishnah Berurah says there's a basis to say Tachanun, and many Sfarish Poskim held that you have up to 13 minutes, or 13 and a half minutes, you can be Mekel. But certainly in Eretz Yisrael, that would be a very difficult position to adopt. Harav Tukhachinsky writes in his Sefer Kunchus HaNeshef that really you could have a Ma'ariv 7 or 8 minutes after Shkia in Eretz Yisrael. You don't really have to wait. The minig is to wait 20 minutes. That's the earliest time that we have a Ma'ariv. But he said, you don't have a Ma'ariv because the halacha requires us to wait till 3 Kochavim Benonim. And if a person is in an area, says Rav Tukhachinsky in Kunchus HaNeshef, which is not polluted, and you can actually see 3 intermediate stars, you can already daven Ma'ariv. So you can daven Ma'ariv 7 or 8 minutes after Shkia, and yet here we have Sfarish Poskim, such as HaGoyim Rabbi Tzion Abashol Zatzal, who was a giant, that he passed until 13 and a half minutes, you can be Mako. So the minig is certainly not to say Tachanun after Shkia. That is certainly the Ashkenazi practice, and many Gedolei Yisrael will not Cheshish with Mishnah Berurah, who gives us a bit of an extension regarding Ben Hashmashos of saying Tachanun. And not only in Yushalayim, but also all of Eretz Yisrael, the minig is not to say Tachanun after Shkia. And among the 1,000 reasons to come to Eretz Yisrael, it's very rare, except in certain circles, where in Ashkenazic circles, they're very makbid to say Tachanun before Shkia. That seems to be a major peda. And the halacha lemaisa, one should not say Tachanun after Shkia. Now, it's true that Chassidim B'derach Klal anoy to daven Mincha after Shkia. This is based on the Gemara in Zvachim. The Gemara says that Minayin Ledam Shenifsal B'Shkia Sachama. The Shachasari has a long arichos, and also based on the Mishnah in the 4th parak of Brachas. When the Mishnah says, Filas HaMincha Ad HaErev, so most Rishonim learn Ad HaErev refers to Shkia. But some learn Filas HaMincha Ad HaErev refers to Tzeis HaKachavim. You can daven Mincha till Tzeis. That's another phenomenon that one actually can see more in Eretz Yisrael than the Chutz Laaretz. But Chassidim have a practice, they daven Mincha after Shkia, but however, they don't say Tachanun, because it's after Shkia, and the Choshesh, all the Shittas, that you don't say Tachanun after Shkia. So even if you have situations where Tachanun will be said before Shkia, but many of them have a minhag not to say Tachanun Bechlal. Why not? Let's say they daven before Shkia, why shouldn't they say Tachanun? So they'll tell you, lo plug, that once we don't say Tachanun, most of the time, so even when we should say Tachanun, we don't say Tachanun. Tzorachim Godel, this low plug that has been invoked. And going a bit further, and this gets into another issue, which is an area of halacha that's a bit on the shadowy side, a bit on the shady side, namely, yard site, where there's a Yom of the Hilula of a tzaddik, sechsidim avimidim, not to say Tachanun. Based on a comment of Rashi and Yevamis and of Kufcha Bezim Abez. It's not without any foundation. It's a Rashi and Yevamis Kufcha Bezim Abez. Rashi quotes from the Gaonim. Rashi said the following. Hanach Rigli Damaroi. The Gemara speaks about a regel, a yomtiv of Amaroyim, namely a yotzai, the day that someone died on an annual basis. That day they gathered together the Chvodo, And that's called regel. And we know on a regel, you don't say tachanun. Wow. What a pshat. What an extrapolation. And there were many gedolei admorim that were completely and totally opposed to this extrapolation from that Gemara. I heard in the name of a great Chassidish Admor, the Admor Mishinava, he said this, I believe, Bedarach Melitza, I guess in a half-joking kind of fashion, that often you daven in Chassidish Minyanim, they'll give a patch on the bima in order to tell the Shia Tziva not to say Tachanun. So he said, that patch, how did he describe that patch? Mako shelo ksuva batela. It's a pasuk in Chumash. The Torah speaks about mako shelo ksuva batela. That's called a mako v'shteit in the pasuk. There's no basis for that klap. No basis for that mako. Ubechalzos, if I'm not mistaken, etzel rubam kikulam shel chassidim, that is the minog among many, many chassidim. I understand, this is what I was told, that if you have 2 or 3 minutes after Shkia, okay, that I can understand, because we're talking about a Safik Rabbanon, Safik Rabbanon Lekula, but still I heard from Hagoyin of Demisol Shlita regarding, for example, Hefsek Tara, he said that perhaps you have maybe a minute or two after Shkia for a woman to do a hefsek tara. We're talking about a din d'oraisa. So he didn't feel that you have such latitude, and therefore, one should try to be medakdeg to the extent that one possibly can, if one can. Now we can extend this even further. Not just yard sites, not just the yemid hilula, but a tzadik bolayir. A tzaddik comes to the city, a tzaddik comes to the shul. Chassidim have a minute not to say tachanun. I heard this in the name of a goyim from Philadelphia, a goyim Rav Ephraim Yalas, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha. He was actually a Talmud of the Rav Yisrael Engel, of the Asmunda Raisa. He was a rabbi in Philadelphia in America. He wrote Sheldon Chubas. Divrei Ephraim Eliezer. It was a goy nadir. So he said that the mokar for this minog is also a gemara in Ervin, a gemara in Das Samach Gimel. The gemara tells us over there, Rabbi Lazar Mehagunya, Rabbi Acha Bar Tachlifa, they came to Rabbi Acha, Braid Rabbi Yika, and he wanted to make them a whole suit as Yom Tiv. Why? Because we know that Moshe Rabbeinu, when Yisro came, so a whole suit was made lichvodo. And therefore, he indicated that even he said over from one of the Dolei Ador, I think Rav Chaim HaKohen Rappaport, there was a guy in Melavuv, that the day he got a letter from the Baal Shem Tov, he was in such simcha, especially when he was in Golos after the First World War in Kharkov. He said that we shouldn't say tachan on that day that he had a letter that he received from the Baal Shem Tov. So even though Ashkenazim, I think I'm speaking to a group of Ashkenazim for what I can see, or what they call Litvisha types, or Litvaks, especially if they come from South Africa. They're Arch Litvaks. So the meaning of Litvaks is not to Yemekel, Tachnun, Lubechsidim Amekel. But Lemaise, there's a tshuva of Dayan Ehrenberg, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, Dvar Yeshua, he was a Rav in Tel Aviv, and Adam Godel Ma'id. And he wants to defend the practice of the Chsidim and defend the practice. He himself was a chassid, the chassid shayid, a goyim. And so he quotes from the Torah, the name of Rav Datunoi Gon, which is not in sync with the Rambam Shita. The Rambam Shita, generally what's accepted in Ashkenazic circles, is that Tachanun is a chiyuv. As I mentioned, it's an integral part of the Shemoneh Esrei. It's connected inseparably with the Shemoneh Esrei. The inextricable intertwining of Shemoneh Esrei and Tachanun is very clear. There shouldn't be any hefsek. We don't countenance any interruption, any intermission. But the Torah quotes from one of the Gaonim, Rav Natanoi, Gaon, the Tachanun is Rishus. It's not a Chiyuv. It's mentioned by the Darkimeshe and his parish on the tour. And therefore, once something is a reshus, all the dinim are essentially founded upon minog. Bimin hoga talya milsa. And Rabbi Shafainsin Zatzal writes, I believe, in Chelek Hay of the Igris Meshe, that because of that, in Europe, the minog was that they weren't mechanech children to say tachanun. Often women ask me, are they obligated to say tachanun? Women who daven mincha, there are women who are makbid to daven. There are three different practices that women have. Some women, based on the Magen Avraham, based on the Rambam, that the tefillah, which is the Raisa, Sherach Bakosha Vaidah, they'll daven one tefillah that has in it, Sherach Bakosha Vaidah. The Magen Avraham is even mashma, that you yotzi with Meida Ani, Hilufanecha Melech HaVekayam, Shechazati Minishmosi Bechemlo, pause, Rabba Emunasecha. Rabbi Yisrael Soloveitchik, Zatzal, my Rebbe is the father, pointed out that you have there in Meida Ani, Haidah, and you speak about as well that the Ribbono Shel Olam Melech Chai V'Kayim Shevach, but you need some bakosha. So in order for there to be a tefillah d'araisa, you have to add some bakosha. So there's bakosha that's added. And that women can be somichan to be yetzir, the mitzvah tefillah d'araisa. There are some women who daven a bit more than that in Shachris. There are women who daven two tefillahs, they daven mincha as well. Some women daven even Maria, but Rav Asher finds in Zatzal, writes in Europe, the minig was to be meko regarding chinuch of young children of tachanun, and also he indicated that apparently women have a minig. I heard this from many women, many outstanding women. They don't say tachanun, and why is that so? So I saw in the Ha'ara, in the sefer by Harav Fuchs Shlita, a Talmud Muvug of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, who's written some very beautiful svarim on kashrus and tefillah, and a lot of fascinating chidushim. Two yellow svarim. That are, I believe, translated into English as well. So he writes in the Sefer Halichos Beiso that women don't say tachanun because it's similar to Ma'ariv. The Rishonim point out, based on the Machlokes in the Gemara, whether Tefillas Ma'ariv is Rishus or Chayva, we pass an Halacha Tefillas Ma'ariv is Rishus, but the Rif and the Rosh write, the Rishonim write, that men were mekabel Ma'ariv upon themselves as a Chiyuv. Kanira, women were not mekabel Ma'ariv upon themselves as a Chiyuv. So Amesha writes, and this is what he mentions, this Rav Fuchs Shlita, in the Sefer Halichos Beiso, that therefore women don't say tachanun. It's similar to Ma'ariv. They weren't mekabel upon themselves to say tachanun. I think they asked Rabbi Yashiv Zatzal whether we're choshesh, and this is a very famous issue. My Rebbe was very opposed to this. My Rebbe was very opposed to, there was a practice that people, wherever he daven, they try to bring chasanim in on Monday and Thursday especially, so they could avoid saying tachanun and avoid saying Vuhurachum, because the chassid is present. You're part of him saying Tachanun, part of him Vuhurachum. And that seemed to be a very, an Esek Sholem. So they say over, in the name of Rabbi Yashiv Zatzal, that Awi Choshesh, the Mishnah Berurah writes here in Sivkot Chavov, Toi Li Zoher, Mishnah Berurah says, one should be careful. Shulay Yikonis HaChassid LeBes HaKnesses Kol Zayin Yimei HaMishteh. Chassid should not enter the shul during 7 days of the Chasana, after the Chasana. Why? Because they're not going to say Tachanun because of his presence. So this seems to be a very clear halacha. So they asked Abba Yashiv. So Abba Yashiv told him, let these Chasanim go to Chesidus Shabbatei Knesios and we'll give them nachas. They'll have a lot of nachas when the Chasanim are there. Now they'll have a basis for not saying Tachanun. So I think the practice, from what I understand, and even though I just mentioned this halacha, that Shulchan Aruch writes in Sif Dalin, Nogu Shulalipul Alpneim Beveis HaChosan. Mishnah Berurah explains from the time of the Chuppah. But the Mishnah Berurah says, Yesh Mekilim Afilu B'Shachris. So now this becomes a massive issue as well. It seems the parameters are the following. And this Rav Vozner writes in his Chubas very clearly. If the Chuppah is going to take place at nighttime, there's no makom lahake el b'shachris whatsoever, not to say tachanun. And even mincha, there's no makom lahake el. The chuppah is taking place on a different day. It's taking place after tzeisa kochavim. What's the basis for not saying tachanun, shachris or mincha? Now, there are those who will contend that if you daven mincha tana close to shkia, and they're already in the ulam smachot, and they're already the hall where the chuppah is going to take place is now, that's where they're davening mincha. And they're going to continue with Ma'ariv. And then the chuppah. So then the argument is that one should not say tachanun under those circumstances. And if the chuppah is going to take place during the day, namely before Shkia, then there's certainly a makom to be meko, even in Shachris, if the chazan is present. He writes over there, Agoin Rav Shmuel Vazna Zatzal, that if only the kala is present, she's be'ezras noshim, so you're still allowed to say tachanun. He doesn't pater them. Only the chazan paters from tachanun and not the kala. I think I've said over a number of times the following vignette, which I myself witnessed on several occasions. I go, Baruch Hashem, with Zecha to go to many, many chasidus, Ken Yirbu. So at a number of chasidus that I went to, the question is, what happens when the chasid walks down and the kala walks down in terms of the obligation to stand? Is there an obligation to stand? Is there no obligation to stand in the presence of the chasid and the kala? So generally the assumption is that this is what people do. They stand up when the chasid comes. They stand up when the kala comes. The makom bepashtus is the Mishnah Bikurim. It's a Gemara in Kedushin. The Mishnah writes in Bikurim in the last perek that when the farmers who came to bring Bikurim to Yerushalayim, when they would arrive, so you stand up in the presence of someone who's about to be mekayim a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to bring Bikurim to the Beis Hamikdash. Those are the psukim at the beginning of Pashas Kisavo, where the Torah tells us that v'lokachta mereshis kol pri adama shetovi mi'artzecha asher Hashem alokecha nosim loch v'samto v'atene v'lachto ala mokam ashivcha Hashem alokecha l'shaken shmo shom. So there's an obligation to go and bring Bikurim. There's also a mitzvah to read the Pasha, Arabi and Abin Avi, the same Pasha that we read on Pesach night and Leil HaSeder, as the Mishnah writes in Avi Psochim, the Kurim Arabi Abin Avi, at Shigma Kala Pasha Kula. The Ramban writes, the Rishonim point out, the Chinuch, the Ramban, that both nights, the Leil HaSeder and Havas Bikurim, both have a common element, and that is Hakara Sato, the obligation to be Makito to Hashem over the farmer's fecundity, over his prosperity in terms of cultivating and nurturing and Baruch Hashem finally producing baskets of fruit, and at the same time, Leil HaSeder and Shum Safek, En Lecha Hakaras HaTov G'day LeMizveis. So therefore, that is the parsha that's going to be read. So I'm at a wedding, and there are two G'dol Yisrael. And I'll mention who they are. I don't think it's a secret. Two Rashi Yeshiva from Yeshivat Har Etzion. So one of the Rashi Yeshiva, the moment the chassid walks down, he gets up. Rabbi Amital Zatzal. And the whole audience gets up. And Rabban Lichtenstein remains seated. So Rabbi Amital says to Rabban Lichtenstein, Rabban, was is das? In Yiddish. What's going on? Why are you not standing up? The whole tzibur is standing. The whole tzibur is standing. So Abraham Lichtenstein responds in Yiddish, Ich tracht von der Minyan, and I'm thinking, and I don't see any mocker in Kol HaShas or Kol HaPoskim that want us to stand up for the what? Not for the chosen. For the chosen, the Baron stood up. But for the Kala, he didn't stand up. I don't see any mocker standing up for the Kala. So Avamital says, the ganze Shibur, the whole Shibur is standing up. So right away, Avaron stands up. So yes, Avaron Lichtenstein, if he didn't see any mocker standing up for the Kala, for the Chassid, yes, but not for the Kala, so why did he stand up? So he said, number one, the Rosh Hashiva Amir Gizok, the Rosh Hashiva told me to stand up, so I stood up. And secondly, he indicated, Al Tifrish Men HaTzibur, I should not be perished from the tzibur. The whole tzibur stands up. I should follow what the tzibur does. Okay, this is the first time I saw this at a wedding. And at the end, they stood up both for the kala, but initially, Rabban Lichtenstein Zatzal didn't stand up for the kala, only for the chassan. I come to a second wedding. Exactly the same event occurs. Ki'ilu, it was literally a recording of the first event. Rabbi Amital Zatzal stands up for the Kala. Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein sits. Rabbi Amital asks Rabbi Aaron, what's going on? My high. His response is, I'm thinking. I don't see any mokar for standing up for the Kala. And Rabbi Amital says to him, what's going on? The Ganze Tzibur, everyone is standing. So right away he stands up. Again, I asked Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein, why did he stand? So he told me, this is the second time you already asked me this question. By another chassid, you already asked me this question. So he said, I stood up for two reasons. The Rashiva and Mir Gizot. Rashiva told me to stand. And two, I'll tefresh men atzibur. So this happened a third time. I said to myself, what is going on here? A third time is Shein Lechazoka. So this time I decided to ask Rav Lichtenstein. I said, I've been to three chassanas. And the same thing happened three times. It's a chazoka. This hanhoga, this kind of practice. Rabbi Amital does one thing, and then he asks, and then you respond, and then eventually you stand. So Rabbi Lichtenstein said to me, you once asked me a question, and I did. I asked him a question about going up to Har HaBayis. In the course of 21 years, I asked him the question three times. 21 years earlier, and then I waited for another 10, 11 years. I asked him a second time. And then I asked him a third time, 21 years later. He said, just like you are a Shur Amud, I'm also a Shur Amud. So his point to me was that each time the question comes up, we have to reconsider it. We have to re-examine the issues. And anyone who's a Baal Halacha understands that is the correct approach. Even though one could say, I already handled the Shaila 25 times, I saw my Rabbeim, Hagoyin and Nisim Alpert, people would ply him with questions. The Talmud Muvaga, Moshe Feinstein Zatzal. He was Shoilet in Kol HaShas. One of my Rabbeim, Rabbi Lichtenstein, said about him, when he was Nifter, I asked him, what did he think about Hagoyin and Nisim Alpert? He told me it was a Chetz of a Shikul Torah. There was nothing he didn't have a Shikul Torah to say about. Nothing. Any topic, he already had what to say. So every time I would ask him a question, even though I asked him maybe the same question a few times on different occasions, he would rethink the issue, reevaluate it, reexamine it. And my Rebbe Soloveitchik Zatzal, a number of times we learned the same sugya with him. So we already knew a lot of the Torah that he said on that sugya the previous time or the time before that. And so he would ask us in Shir, what's the Pshat this Gemara? So we would say, we heard from the Rav this X and Y. So he would respond, what Rav are you talking about? Which Rav are you discussing? Who Rav? What Rav? Right now we have a sugya in front of us. Let us examine the sugya and see what it's all about. So each time he would approach you with a frischkeit, with a hischatshus, with a sense of vitality and freshness. Ke'ilu, he never saw the sugya before. And he was fully aware of the chiddush Torah he had said earlier. And matter of fact, on one or two occasions he said, I was completely wrong. So we said, what do you mean? We have it in our notebooks. It's already Hakol B'Ksav Me'ar Hashem Alai Hiskil, Azevi the Mishamidosh. And he answered that he's not operating in that sphere. He's a Bas of Adam trying to understand the Sugya. So this is an important lesson I just want to convey, that every time we examine an issue in Halacha, we have to re-examine it very carefully and go through the Mekaris again. I'll just end with one last comment relating to, I want to show you how far afield people go with this issue. We started with Yahrzeit, and we continued, and we're moving along in our merry way. Namely, the Mishnah Berurah does not bring any smoker that I know of. There's a bar mitzvah. So you don't say tachanun. I was at a shul, there's a bar mitzvah, and the psak was not to say tachanun. I said to myself, Shoimu Shamayim, what is going on over here? Or Pidyon HaBen. And if I'm not mistaken, the minhag is most Ashkenazim, all Ashkenazim, Rov Sfardim, for what I can see, certainly you're going to say tachanun. There's no basis. So I saw, and this was told to me by my shvager Zecher Lebracha, a Gaon of Yisrael cousin, who lived in Bnei Brak for close to 50 years. He told me he once asked Rav Shraya Dublitsky Zatzal on this issue, because someone told Rav Shraya Dublitsky, I think it was a Sfardi, who told him the minhag of Sfardim is not to say tachanun when there's a bar mitzvah. So he answered with chrifus. He said, only deny Sfardim. Nish the richlige svadim. Only the new svadim, and not the svadim shel pam. All the poskim say very clearly, kach nogu b'chol ha-deiris, that at a bar mitzvah, there's no basis not to say tachanun. But apparently, again, let's say I daven mincha in an ulam smachot. And there, the ulam smachot, they're going to celebrate a bar mitzvah, a pinyin ha-ben. So I think there also, from what I gather, from what I have seen, the minig is lahokel, and not to say tachanun. Even though mikra adin, there's no question that one should say tachanun. So then I understood that there's a further extension of this. Look how far we're going. And someone told me they made a siyum in the Ulam Smachot and they daven mincha and they held, you don't say tachanun. Look how far we've gone. Or to put it in literature terminology, ech noflu giborim bayogdu klei milchoma. I don't think there's any mucker for that whatsoever. Now, I'll just say one last thing. I keep indicating one last thing, but more things come to my head. A bris milah. If the bris is going to be in the same shul that they're davening, okay. So then I understand not to say tachanun, even if the avi ben and the moil and the sandik are not going to be there. But let's say the bris is going to be elsewhere. So here I shouldn't say tachanun, unless the avi ben, the moil, the sandik are davening in that shul that I do understand. Not the kvata. The kvata is nitkin yachsir over here. The yachsonim are the avi ben, the moil, and the sandik. And that's only, let's say, in shachris, that the bris milah is going to take place right after shachris. But let's say the bris milah already took place. And now we're talking about mincha. So the Mishaburah paskins here in Sivkot Chafei. If you're davening etzel latino, kodim asuda, b'emtza asuda, then you don't say tachanun. But they already benched. The suda is over. So I understand the balei habris don't say tachanun because yom tov shalohemu. For them, the whole day is a yom tov. The way the Gemara said, by those who brought the carbon eitzim, for them it was a yom tov. The Gemara in Tainus and elsewhere. But the sandik and the moyel, I understand, will not say tachanun kol hayom. Yom tov shalohemu. But everybody else, you're davening yet to birchas hamazon, how about you say tachanun? What's the suffix? So there are a lot of areas of halacha.
And as far as shacharis, it's only if the meal is taking place in the context of shacharis, like if you're going to a different location afterward, then...
So if the Bali HaBris are there, then you're not going to say tachanun, even though the bris meal will take place elsewhere. Because they are, for them, it's considered to be a yom tiv, and they, shall we say, are gorer, all the other, those who daven in the shul with them. But other than that, once the bris milah is over, and even though it took place in a particular shul or bris medrash, there's no question for mincha, everyone's going to say tachanun, with the exception of the bali habris, or the bali simcha, for them it's a din yom tiv, and they will not be obligated to say tachanun. Okay, ad kan, hakof habay, so mitzvah Hashem, hopefully we'll, the halachi pot peri, will continue mitzvah Hashem tomorrow night with some other areas of halachic relevance to the dinim of tachanun. And since someone asked me another question regarding the nature of the hishtachavah, the tefillas hapayim, so I probably will discuss as well the issue found in the end of Parshas Bahar, namely the issue of ve'evin maskis al sitnu ba'atzachem hishtachavah salah. The Mishnah Berurah actually quotes it over here in the halachas of tachnunim, so we'll try to perhaps address that issue as well.
Thank you.